Earlier on today's program, Josiah Hawley told us that he grew up hearing music at home. His father played jazz piano. Well, Aaron Deal, who plays jazz piano and will be on stage at Walton Arts Center December 7th, also heard music early in his life. His grandfather also played the piano. Aaron has done pretty well for himself lately. He's earned the support of Wynton Marsalis, has been called a revelation by the New York Times, and a promising discovery by the Chicago Tribune. Last week, Robert Ginsburg, host of KUAF's Shades of Jazz program that you can hear every Friday and Saturday night beginning at 10, talked to Aaron Deal.
Aaron, can you tell me about some of the influences that led you into this life of music? And I understand your grandfather was pivotal.
He was very pivotal. I started around, I don't really believe early enough, I started at 7, which for many people was on the late side. But my grandfather is a jazz pianist and trombonist, and he exposed me to jazz from a very early age, but he also sang in the church choir, so when we went to church every Sunday, I'd hear music, and I was very fascinated, actually, with the organ. So from my experiences listening to my grandfather on gigs, and then hearing music at church and hearing the choir at church, I was very much galvanized by music. And so I formally started taking lessons around 7 years old. I started classical music. And then I wasn't very interested in playing jazz until later on. And I heard in a record by Oscar Peterson, I was thinking, well, I think I really want to pursue this. So I started maybe around 13, 14. I can't really pinpoint the exact time, but that's when I started taking lessons in Columbus. And I met a great man named Todd Stoll. He was my high school band director at the Columbus Youth Jazz Orchestra. It was comprised of students all across Central Ohio. I was in Todd's band for 3 years in high school, my sophomore to my senior year. So, and he's the one who introduced me to Wynton Marsalis, and that's how I got into Wynton's band. I did a stint, about 2 month stint, and I also went to Juilliard. I was in the jazz studies program. So that was the beginning of my professional career.
In this process of learning the language of jazz, I know that you have been a dedicated student. You've absorbed and you've studied many of the idiom's greats like Ellington, Oscar Peterson, Monk, John Lewis, and on and on. Have any of these masters' voices haunted you in the work to find your own voice?
I don't feel like they have. I mean, I think sometimes the language that they created comes out more than others. But I feel like right now I'm learning some new pieces by guys like Herbie Nichols, Ray Bryant. And I feel like the more I accumulate in terms of the language and how people play, the more that seeps into my individuality. I never really get too worried about sounding too much like an imitation or not having my own voice come through, because I know when I listen to the records that I'll never sound like Horace Silver, I'll never sound like Bud Powell, I'll never sound like Ahmad Jamal or whoever. And that's not the goal. The goal is just to accumulate the language and understand how the language can be manipulated. It's making connections between the various various dialects or the various eras of the music. So how can you see a connection between Herbie Hancock and James P. Johnson? How can you see a connection between Bud Powell and Jelly Roll Morton, or Art Tatum and Chick Corea? And it's all there. I mean, it's all an evolved language, but you have to know enough of it to make those connections.
It's like ear training in a way, I guess, really.
Yes, exactly. It's ear training. And it's also just being able to make, you know, to understand the lineage where, to a point where you're not thinking in style. It's not like, okay, we're going to play in the style of. You're just playing jazz. Mm-hmm.
let me ask you, how do you approach people who are not the typical jazz audience, who perhaps aren't that familiar, or even more so, are skeptical of the music? How do you reach those people?
That's a good question, because I talk about this all the time. I don't think there really needs to be much to tweak as far as the music is concerned. The possibilities that the music already possesses, okay? Typically, the problem lies with musicians presenting the music and the level at which they present it, and also not just the level, but the program. Many times when I'll take somebody to a jazz performance, somebody who's not a jazz aficionado or connoisseur, typically what can occur could be one of two things. One, a great set where they're like, I don't know what that was, but it was great. And that's really what it should be like. I didn't understand. I mean, a lot of people feel like they have to understand. I mean, no, you don't have to understand it. You just have to enjoy it. But it's the responsibility, the responsibility is on the musician to make sure the audience enjoys it. And the second scenario could be musicians playing same tempos, no dynamics, same keys, same format, play the melody, play the solo, maybe bass solo, trade with the drums, head out. Every tune being like that does not make a set very interesting. And people, quite honestly, get bored. I mean, as a musician, I get bored. And so I think musicians need to, instead of finding a way to change the aesthetic of the music in order to keep people interested, they just need to look within the great look at the great masters, how they play, but also how they present the music in the context of the set with all of the language that's available to make it interesting. If you do that, I promise you people will start to listen. But I think a lot of the problems in jazz has to do with the quality and the quality of the way it's executed, and the way it's presented. I truly believe that.
The group you're touring with and you've recorded with has garnered a lot of comparisons to the modern jazz quartet, not only in the instrumentation, piano, vibraphone, bass, and drums, but also in the elegance and the sound of the group. I imagine we'll be hearing a lot of the repertoire from your latest CD, The Bespoke Man's Narrative, at the concert here. Are you working up new material as well for the quartet?
I am. That's what I'm working on exactly this minute. So, yeah, you'll probably hear a little bit of John Lewis's music, some new material, some music from the album, and David Wong and Rodney Green are both on it, two fabulous musicians. Warren Wolf, who's I'm sure you're familiar with, he's an absolute virtuoso, amazing musician. He also has records out on Mac Avenue, which my album's on is on as well. So we have this quartet, and we hope to present a good set on December 7th at the Walton Arts Center.
Will that be the band, Aaron?
That will be the band.
Oh, my goodness. Well, was it last? No, it was year before last. Warren was gracious enough to come down here and play with a pickup trio for the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series that we do, and I had a chance to meet him and work with him then. And our local trio was pedaling as fast as they could to keep up with Warren, I can tell you.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty amazing. He's on fire continuously.
Thanks again for taking the time and just being so easy to talk to.
Oh, thank you. Looking forward.
Aaron Deal will perform twice on December 7th at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. The first show is at 7, the second at 9. You can learn more about the shows at waltonartscenter.org. Robert Ginsberg's program, Shades of Jazz, can be heard every Friday and Saturday at 10 p.m.